the next in a series of podcasts being created by the California STD HIV Prevention Training Center. My name is Miriam Garfinkel. I'm a trainer and curriculum writer here. And this is going to be the second in a series of podcasts where we're focusing very specifically on issues related to prevention for people living with HIV. I'm here today with Tim Vincent, who's the coordinator of the Prevention with Positives program. Tim has also done a tremendous amount of work, very particularly focused on stigma, both around the United States and in South Africa. So I guess I want to start today, Tim, by asking you if there's anything you'd like to say that's as an introduction to the topic of stigma before we get specifically into it.
Well, I would want to say that talking about stigma, it's a very complex issue. And stigma is, I would say, the forefront challenge that we have in HIV prevention here in the United States and then internationally. And then thinking about working with people living with HIV and that level of stigma, I think makes it even more intense and more complex to really unpack and talk about.
Thanks, Tim. That was a really helpful framework for today's podcast. So the first question I'd like to ask you more specifically is how you would define stigma in general and also how you would define HIV-related stigma.
I would define stigma as a discrediting social label that can change how somebody is viewed or how somebody views themselves. And that HIV-related stigma is a particular stigma that's leveled at people who are living with HIV and the negative attributes that are given to them. Anybody who's stigmatized, I would say, can be seen as deviant, they could be seen as shameful, they could be rejected, they could be shunned as a result of that stigma. And then HIV-related stigma is, you know, for the people who are living with HIV, the ways in which that happens.
You know, it also makes me think that I know in trainings that that we've done personally and also that have happened at the training center, that it's often very easy to get most people to think about ways in which they've been stigmatized in their lives. You know, when we ask them that question, it's whether it's based on race or ethnicity or gender or body type, or there's just so many ways it seems like many people have been stigmatized in their lives. And I'm wondering if you can say a little bit more about what you think makes HIV be such a stigmatizing condition.
Well, I think that there's different things that make that happen. One of them is that it's a disease, and diseases are stigmatized anyway, you know, in this country and in our culture. And then there's certain things that make a disease even more powerful in that stigma. And I think the HIV has many of those attributes, and that has to do with whether or not you can give it to somebody. I think people are concerned about that. I think people are concerned about the life-threatening nature that they believe that HIV, you know, has. I think people are also get stigmatized if they feel like something they did created that disease. So in other words, if my behavior was something that gave me HIV, that can get more stigma from the person who has HIV. And then if it is visible, if you can see it, if I look like I've got a disease, if I look like I have HIV, which sometimes people believe that you can see it or you can tell that somebody looks like they have HIV. And then I think it's also about moral fault. It's about who gets HIV. It's about who you are in this particular culture or context, and what that means about you. And so people who have same-sex sex relationships, people who have lots of sexual partners, people who are drug users, people who don't really fit within what people might feel like the margins of what morality is in whatever culture we're talking about, get stigmatized as a result of having HIV. And when we look at the numbers of people who have HIV and who is most at risk and who really are the face of HIV, we're looking at what you just said, people of color. We're looking at people from race, from ethnicity, from gender, who are already having places where they're stigmatized, and then they're having HIV on top of it, which, you know, I think compounds the issue and makes it really difficult for people to feel like they can be open and supported with the needs that they have.
Can you say a little bit more then about what you think is important for providers to know or to understand about how people deal with then the challenge or challenges of both HIV-related stigma and potentially other kinds of stigma as well?
Well, I would say that there's lots of different things that people could do or do. Sometimes people internalize the stigma that's leveled at them from the outside and then begin to maybe believe that about themselves, the things that they've heard from the outside, or start to manifest them, you know, by not being able to be motivated to take care of themselves or to do some self-destructive behaviors. That's one way I think that people deal with it. Another way I think that they do it is by isolating. I think a lot of people don't want to feel the stigma, so they might be isolating in certain situations. I think also people might anticipate that stigma might be happening to them, whether it's happening to them or not, because they've had it for so many different instances, so that their relationships may be impacted and their provider relationships may be impacted. I also think that there's another side of it too. I think that sometimes people bond with other people who felt a similar stigma or feeling that same stigma. I think that sometimes people compartmentalize, or they find a place where they can actually get support, maybe another place where they don't, and so they have ways in which they may reveal parts of themselves to certain people and parts of themselves to other people to kind of make sure they can kind of navigate, you know, the stigmatizing conditions that might be coming to them. I also think that people rely on, you know, whatever they've relied on to help them through difficult times in the past. People have strengths, people have coping mechanisms, people have developed coping mechanisms as a result of having to deal with a stigma that can be very effective in their lives in lots of different ways.
The next question that comes up for me then, Tim, listening to everything you've been saying about stigma and HIV-related stigma and the way it impacts clients is, what is it then that you think it's important for providers to keep in mind when they're doing their prevention work with HIV-positive clients?
I think it would be important for people to recognize the relationship that stigma may have with some of the challenges that people are presenting. So, as an example, if a client is concerned about HIV status disclosure with a partner, that stigma might have something to do with that difficulty. It could also impact someone's ability to negotiate safer sex behaviors, to access treatment, to take medications regularly. There's ways in which stigma really might impact someone's prevention efforts overall. And I think it's important for a provider to have some awareness that that exists and maybe to ask some questions about what some of those difficulties are to help someone, a client, kind of align their intention to take care of themselves and to not transmit HIV or to really make sure that they're keeping their overall quality of life in a way that they want to support. I would also say that it's important to recognize that people who've been stigmatized, a lot of people with HIV who definitely have had that experience, it may impact their relationship with the providers and their anticipation that they may be stigmatized by the provider, and that it might impact their ability to be honest about really what's going on with them, because they may anticipate. So if I tell you, you're my provider, and I tell you that I'm having a struggle with using protection, and you know that I have HIV, I may be concerned that you're going to judge me, or that you're going to lecture me, or that you're going to not give me the services that I need beyond that, because of that. So that's one just example of that. The other thing that I think is really important is for providers to really recognize that many people have built coping mechanisms, like I said, and have strengths and have ways in which they've effectively dealt with some of the stigmatizing conditions that they've experienced, and to help people identify that and to help people use that as maybe a way to deal with what I just said, maybe a disclosure challenge or a challenge around communicating safety in a sexual situation.
Thanks, Tim. That was really helpful. And, you know, I think that recognizing, acknowledging people's strengths in the face of, you know, what could really be considered and is, in fact, I think a lot of adversity is a great place to end.